the Swiftwater team was actually something that was ordered by the governor's office back during Christine Gregoire was the governor. And after some incidents, they said, you know, we need to have a specialized team to deal with some of these disasters.
I'm Joe Seemandel, and this is Raven Conversations. And today I'm joined by a special guest, Lieutenant Eric Olson. You were with Washington State Fish and Wildlife and Sergeant First Class Austin Hyatt. He is in the G3 office, but you guys both were part of the recent domestic operations up in Skagit County during the flood response. And Lieutenant Olson is here to talk about what he did to help with the guard and Swiftwater Rescue. So I appreciate you coming on and joining us.
I appreciate the invite.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. So intro and background on yourself.
Well, I've worked for Fish and Wildlife Police for 22 years now. Started as an officer in Seattle area. Not exactly the place that you would normally think of a game warden being, but that's where I was. Was a sergeant for 11 years, supervising the Marine Detachment out of that area. Mm-hmm. And then I've been a lieutenant now for about 3 years.
What brought you over to Fish and Wildlife? Just wanted to change the scenery?
Well, before this, I was a parole officer with Department of Corrections. In this state, we call him a community corrections officer. I wanted something that was had a lot of opportunities. Frankly, that was a broad authority. We have general law enforcement authority, mm-hmm. so we enforce every state law, traffic stops, warrant arrests. Obviously, our focus is fish and wildlife enforcement. So it gets us into all sorts of avenues, kind of why I'm here with our Swiftwater team. It's just kind of one of those unique niches. They also often call us the Swiss Army knife of law enforcement.
Nice.
So kind of do it all.
Yeah. Sergeant Hyatt, quick intro background on yourself.
So Sergeant Hyatt, I've been in the military for 14 years. I've been AGR for the last 10 in the Guard. Just came from an infantry battalion, the Highlanders out of Spokane, and I've been here in this office for about a year as the state land and ammo NCO.
Yeah. Yeah. So I always like to ask, kind of, I think we all have an interesting Guard story or how we learned about the Guard. How'd you learn about the Guard?
Well, it's interesting enough is I learned about the Guard at Skagit Valley Community College, where I went to college there. So I was Compo 3. I was the reserves first. And while I was at the community college, there was a recruiter, Sergeant First Class Carter, who said, hey, the Guard is a thing. I didn't really know it was a thing. I didn't know that infantry was in the Guard. And so that piqued my interest. And I then ended my contract with the reserves and joined the Guard. And I was AGR less than a year later. So completely different avenue for me. Except coming off the street, I came from Compo 3. And I've never looked back. I've loved every minute of it.
Nice. Yeah, Eric, not in the Guard, but how did you first learn about the Guard?
Oh, I feel like I've always known about the Guard. You know, my dad was in the Air Force and spent a lot of time on JBLM and all that. And just always known about the Guard. But I got to tell you, being in law enforcement, though, and numerous, you know, disasters that have come up in my 22 years doing it, like you know, OSO, for example, mm-hmm. I didn't respond to that. I know my captain over here actually did. But just I've always known about the Guard. It's something that I see them as a tremendous asset for some of these domestic issues, especially from a law enforcement perspective. It's very essential to stuff like this because you never know what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And like I said before, we could not have done the job that we were doing out there with the Swiftwater team without the Guard being out there and helping us with those giant vehicles. What do you call those giant vehicles? The 1-6?
Oh, the LMTVs.
LMTVs.
Or FMTVs now currently. FMTVs.
FMTVs. Okay, yeah, those things. Really cool looking trucks. Yeah, we couldn't have done our job without being able to get out there. We put our boats out there, right, and we ended up coming back and offloading the people into those vehicles, and then just getting those a lot of the personnel in and out of there too, and then on several occasions too. I mean, not to jump ahead of anything here, but there was a lot of times when we, you know, the water was maybe shallow enough to get to it. With some medical pulls there. I remember one guy had a broken hip, I think, that was pulled out there. That was, that we couldn't have done that without that vehicle and the Guard personnel.
Yeah, and so you guys kind of already, I think, set the ball right on the tee for me, because you mentioned Skagit Valley Community College, already kind of started talking about the mission. So talk about where the collaboration started for this mission. I'm assuming there was a request that came through while you were up there as the LNO, and that's how it all happened.
Well, yeah, so I actually got down there, and Lieutenant Olson was, I think, already there. I showed up as an LNO assistant, Captain Matsuwawa, down there, and showed up and just hit the ground running. Again, any operation that starts is always a little chaotic in the beginning, just trying to figure out who's who, and met Lieutenant Olson, and it was like, oh, he's the SWIFT guy for Fish and Wildlife. And so the first SWIFT teams to get pushed out was the Fish and Wildlife teams, and our guys came to the, from Task Force Hydra, they came to the EOC at Skagit Valley Community College, and I was like, hey, can you guys want this capability? The EOC had requested it, and the SWIFT team was able to use it, use the teams with the boat and the vehicles. And so our guys just met up with your teams, and we're like, hey, you guys, can you take care of each other? And Lieutenant Olson was very clear with his team that, like, hey, take care of each other, right? Which we appreciated on the guard side. And it made for really good teamwork, I think.
Yeah. So talk about, what is Swift Water Rescue? It probably just exactly what it sounds like. You guys go out during a flood situation and help folks, but kind of talk more in depth about it.
Well, the Swift Water team was actually something that was ordered by the governor's office back during Christine Gregoire was the governor. And after some incidents, they said, you know, we need to have a specialized team to deal with some of these disasters that involved, you know, that water that flows swiftly, as the name sounds there, right? But also not just that, just some dangerous environments that where you have a lot of issues with flooding, or maybe some landslides, mm-hmm. things of that nature, like Oso, for example. That was a very key one. And you need a specialized team that can navigate those things to be able to go in and do those rescues, and life and property being obviously the primary concern there. So that's how we got involved in it. It was a mandate from the governor's office, mm-hmm. and our department stepped up, and we have some very skilled folks that are involved in that team.
Yeah. And so you kind of already alluded with the LMTVs. We were putting boats in the back of LMTVs, which if you know what an LMTV is, what's the clearance? It's about 30 inches off the ground before you hit the doors?
Roughly.
Roughly. Yeah. And so we were able to kind of get them to places where a regular truck and trailer probably would not be able to get to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was some of the video footage. I know my officers didn't like it when I met with them in the parking lot and said, when we were getting ready to take off there in the early morning, they weren't that happy when I asked them to keep their body cams on, because these guys aren't in it for any kind of media highlights or anything like that. They just want to save people's lives. Yeah. And I know same with the guard, and that's why they just work so well together, man. It's a matter of fact, right after when I met with them and we had our first briefing, and then we ended up having that first day, they just meshed so well with their guard counterparts that they requested the same guys the next time around, and it became quite the unified team. But yes, those vehicles were very instrumental, because sometimes you get out and you're just trying to get to a point where you can even launch a boat, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's not quite deep enough, to get some of those boats out there. And then once you get to that point, then you can throw them out and we can start going. Because you're essentially driving over, barbed wire fences. You're driving over cars. You're driving, not hitting the cars, but I'm saying you're just driving over things. You don't know what's underneath you, because you're not driving on a normal waterway.
Yeah. There was a lot of videos where we would see you guys go in and out. And frankly, you had no clue of what you guys were probably driving over, because the water was so high in some spots. So
it's kind of comical to watch when you're watching some of that body cam footage. Like, again, they did not want to wear it, but they were going to do it because they knew we needed to document some of the stuff. And it's pretty funny when you're sitting there watching a small boat, mm-hmm. With a jet engine on the back, a little, and then the guy's navigating going, oh, let's see here. We're using Google Maps. to drive on these waterways going, oh, you're supposed to take a left on Continental. Like, well, oh, you're
just, where's Continental? Everything,
yeah, you just see these little signs about this far out of the water, you know, with the street lame on it. And they're like, so it's kind of funny watching some of those videos. But it's also really cool to watch how the look on some of these people's faces when they're rescued and just how grateful they were. And that to me is what really, I mean, I just got like almost kind of emotional watching, like, oh, I felt so cool, you know, seeing that going, yeah, these guys are just doing some awesome work.
How do you become involved with Swiftwater Rescue? If somebody's watching and they say, hey, that sounds like a really cool job, how do they actually apply and go through a process to get selected to do it?
Well, you have to become a fish and wildlife police officer first, you know, and then you so you apply to our agency. You know, we have it on online. Mm-hmm. You can put in the interest there, and then you become. If you have to go through a polygraph and background investigation, it takes a lot. Psychological, all sorts of things. Just that's what you have to do to become any police officer in the state of Washington. Mm-hmm. And then once you're hired on, you got to go through FTO. It takes about a year to get on to the point where you're actually on the road. Patrolling by yourself,
yeah.
Because we are general authority police officers, we go through the police academy just like everyone else. And then once you're on your own, you have to have probation. It takes a while, is what I'm getting at, because it is a specialty field. And then you would apply to be to go through that training, and it's a significant amount of training. But to get certified to do it, it takes a while.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, can't really give you a time frame per se, because it
all depends on each individual, yeah. I imagine. Oh, yeah. And we can put the information in the notes of where to find the information about how to apply for Fish and Wildlife. That way they can at least put the application in, because what does it hurt, right?
Oh, I'll take any qualified person, you know, that wants to do this job. This is the coolest job you could ever imagine. I'm not saying Sergeant Hyatt's job isn't awesome, and this guy is awesome, by the way. Okay, but It is an amazing job.
Yeah.
And it is so much fun, and I've been so blessed to be able to do it as long as I have.
Yeah. So, Sergeant Hyatt, kind of from your standpoint, from a guard standpoint, working with Fish and Wildlife, what was that kind of like?
Oh, it was great. So everything, the coordination in between us, and the tracking personnel. So you had a system that tracked your people by latitude, longitude. And we had to update our COP, our common operating picture, to show where our guys were. And what Lieutenant Olson was able to do was, like, give me the latitude, longitude. We converted to our MGRS. And then we were able to accurately track and depict where our guys were conducting life-saving operations. And, I mean, we had, what, day 119 or so?
It was a lot. First day.
Lots of different evacuations and door knocks and just a lot of different types of missions that our guys conducted jointly. And all the credit goes to the guys who were in the field with the LMTVs driving those trucks and, mm-hmm. and making that happen. We were just, you know, in the EOC sort of coordinating and making sure everybody knew where everybody was at. And that was – it was – an honor and a privilege to be able to do that, along with all the other departments that were there. I've never seen so many fire chiefs and in one room. So, but it was really unique, because I don't think I've ever really worked with any kind of game warden or Fish and Wildlife. Always see them out when I'm, like, you know, hunting or fishing, and I'm like, I'm not doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
So I'm good. But yeah, it was just
I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, it was really an honor and a privilege. To be able to work with them.
Yeah. So after that, and folks can see you got a medallion around your neck. So you were given today the Commander's Award for Public Service from the Washington National Guard. Sergeant Hyatt, you put him in for the award, correct?
I did, sir.
So talk about why you put him in for the award, and if you want to read the citation, I can give it to you, or if you want to.
Yeah, sure, I can read it. It's pretty much why is for the reason on the citation. So it goes. For his exceptional performance while serving as a key leader in the operation cell during emergent Swiftwater rescue operations, Mr. Olson's expert direction and flawless coordination of field units were instrumental in the mission's success. His clear and decisive command enabled joint teams of Fish and Wildlife Police and National Guard soldiers to effectively navigate hazardous conditions, leading directly to numerous life-saving actions and ensuring the safety of his personnel, and the safety of his personnel and our personnel. I mean, that it was just so, it was such a good relationship. And the reason I put him in for this award is really everything on that citation. There's there's no fluff to it. It's just a really good relationship that we were able to save lives. And in the Guard, I mean, that's a highlight, right? Yeah. Is to be able to do those domestic operations and do what you train to do on the domestic side. So it's really just an honor to put him in for an award, and I think he deserves to be recognized.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that, and I got to tell you, it was truly an honor to work with you. And I'm not very good at accepting awards. I don't like I like usually still celebrating the work of all those guys.
I was going to say it's just another day in the job, right?
Yeah, it's a little uncomfortable, to be honest with you, because I feel like those guys out in the field, the Swiftwater guys, okay, and the National Guardsmen, those guys were the ones that were, like, you know, those guys were kicking butt, and those guys were saving people. They're making a huge difference in people's mm-hmm. lives, just like Sergeant Hyatt was saying. And it was just, it was awesome to be part of the help, the coordination of that. Like, because when we walked in, I was just trying to figure out, okay, what's going on here? I know what assets we have, and I know what they're capable of. How do I mesh them with what's going on in this room? Because it was a little chaotic at first, right? I mean, we're trying to figure out who's in charge of what, and you're trying to figure out, well, where do we need these people? How do we triage this to get to this location we need? And it was awesome. Once I got dialed in with Sergeant Hyatt, it was just like, you would think this guy is a 4-star general. Okay, I'm telling you, man, this guy's a born leader. He stood up and he's asking really good questions, and we're trying to get organization to chaos, and it was really cool. Yeah. I mean, this guy, he said, okay, how many vehicles do you need? How many personnel do you need? And I said, I have this many teams. Hook me up with, I think we determined like 2 or 4. I think we got 4 or something. Yeah, 4. That's what it was. 4 for each one of our teams. And then we just started kicking butt, and then it was awesome. You just go from one call to the other, and I get these pictures of people getting, you know, carried off decks that are just surrounded with, you know, just water. I mean, and medical calls, and it was just it's the stuff that I always, you know, that I got into the job to do in terms of saving lives, and I'm not the one doing it. I was helping for the team to do it.
Facilitate it.
Yeah. And that was cool to see the results, you know, to see everyone out there and just meshing so well, and to watch all these individuals become such a team and be so effective.
Yeah.
You know, it was just amazing how effective they were. I had Burlington, I think he was like the commander. Yeah, he's a Burlington PD commander. Mm-hmm. And we were sitting right next to each other, and Sergeant Hyatt's kind of, you know, right in front of me. And he just leans over and he says, hey, I heard him over, you know, speaking about how, okay, we have this, you know, these guys woke up and their entire city is basically mm-hmm. underwater. And, you know, and we have to go in and try to evacuate this place because it's going to get worse. Because we knew it was going to get worse. And I immediately started talking to him. And then Sergeant Hyatt and I started talking. We're like, okay, let's get all these guys in here. We'll just go door to door. And we'll keep track of it by address in terms of where we went. Those guys ended up going to 50-plus houses, the guardsmen and mm-hmm. and our officers, just on rafts and all sorts of things. And rescued a lot of people that were in a bad situation.
Yeah, and that was in that one neighborhood area of Burlington, right? There, where the water had risen overnight into that neighborhood, where every place else had kind of fallen, it kept coming into that neighborhood. So.
Correct.
Yeah, so it bypassed a levee. So it didn't actually break a levee. It sort of bypassed around upstream from it and started going into that area. And the flow of that is really important to know, because the EOC and the incident commander there, they sort of know what's happening, right? And they know, oh, we need to do door knocks. And then the operations cell in there says, we need these capabilities. And so all those departments that in the operations cell are like, okay, these are our capabilities that we can provide to the fight. And so we then say, well, we have these guard trucks that can do this and this many personnel that are available. And then that gets routed on the guard side, gets routed to the task force commander to see if he can accomplish that mission. They're the ones that direct those missions to happen on the guard side. I just coordinate the need. And so being able to do that and work jointly with Fish and Wildlife, I mean, it was moving so quickly that the response times were pretty minimal, I think. And I think that one evacuation, total guard-wise, I think it was over 600 houses in that area. And so you had Fish and Wildlife teams and SWIFT teams, not just Fish and Wildlife SWIFT teams, but also I think Spokane County was there, mm-hmm. all the way from the other side of the state. And then you had guardsmen on foot doing door knocks further inland. And so it was just really a phenomenal sight to see from a coordination aspect of how effective our first responder and, you know, guard, first responder, Fish and Wildlife are able to execute these missions and conduct life-saving operations.
Yeah, I think it's a good reminder for everyone watching, that a domestic operation response isn't just calling the National Guard and they're going to solve everything. It is a multifaceted response where we're supporting a lead agency, or in this case, we're supporting a county where you guys were called in to support as well, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. By the governor's county, office.
In the governor's
by the EOC,
office.
Yeah.
Yep. So there's a lot of collaboration that happens, whether it's with Fish and Wildlife or DNR or State Patrol, or even down to the county and local municipality level. There's a lot of coordination that happens. And I think it's important for everyone to realize that this is a team effort. Everyone that signs up is there for the same exact reason, to save lives and mitigate the loss of life and property. Mm-hmm. And so I think I appreciate you coming on and sharing all that with us, because I think it's important for them to know.
Absolutely. And I've said several times, I think it was just an honor to be part of it, because looking back, when you're part of that chaos, you're thinking, okay, and things start becoming... you start kind of getting an order to it, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where Sergeant Hyatt was so awesome, that he and I worked together so well, because I just tell him, hey, this is what I need. Can you provide mm-hmm. that? And he's like, well, if I can't, we'll find it. And then we just found those tools, and then we got them in place and quickly. And he's right, the response times were really low because we were trying to anticipate as well, yeah. where do people need to be, so we can limit that response time. And just doing all that, I mean, you know, finding out what radio frequency was using, find out, you know, how many people can we carry in those vehicles, where can our boats go? We have some they may not look really great. They're like a flat bottom boat with a jet engine or jet outboard, propulsion. So that way you're not going to, you know, chop up something with a prop, right? Because you're not driving over normal things. And so, but I tell you what, they can get some really good spots that you need to get into. And when you need to get someone out of there, that's the boat you want.
Yeah.
And they work really well. You can get in just some really nooks and crannies of alleyways and stuff like that that are just completely flooded, and get out injured personnel and stuff like that. And so anyway, all that stuff together, though, just fitting all that out, we figured it out within I felt like we figured most of it out in the first day. And that's just a tribute to his skill level, okay, and how we were able to mesh together and, frankly, just, I think, make a huge difference, or at least help in that. And you know, I had a lot of support, too, in my chain of command, too. Like my captain, Captain Marstad, who's over there, she came and relieved me at one point after several days, and then she took over, and she was doing an awesome job, and was instrumental in that as well. It just takes a lot of folks, right? And some of those people you never see, you never even hear about.
Yep.
But they're certainly part of the team.
Yeah, a lot of behind the scenes,
multifaceted mission. Because I mean, like the Department of Public Works was like one of our biggest, you know, contributors to a lot of the different missions. You know, the delivering of sandbags and everything like that.
And they're sitting behind the scenes, and no one even knows who delivers the sandbags or how it all gets there.
All those things, and we filled, you know, millions of pounds of sandbags. Oh. And, you know, I mean, I think we had one mission that we were prepping for that your team went up for door knocks that was 7,900 sandbags got filled. It was 48 LMTVs worth of sandbags that were prepped and ready to go for a levee that had broke near Lyman. And so it was just cool to see the manpower and how it equated to like mission success. And our guys talk so highly of Fish and Wildlife every night, because every night they came back and they actually stayed at the Skagit Valley Community College just to be ready to go for any kind of on call. And they loved it. And I think some of them, you know, some of them are AGRs. I think some of them are like ready to leave AGR and go be a Fish and Wildlife. So
you probably got one right here, right?
There you go.
Yeah. Maybe when I
come
retire.
On down.
Yeah,
come on so. Down.
But, yeah, it was just real honor, and our guys loved every minute of it. And I, as a guardsman, I don't think you can ask for a better mission, yeah. You know, as far as being able to do a job that you're training for and that you signed up to do. So,
yeah, no, well, I appreciate you guys both coming on and sharing this kind of story with us. Like I was telling you guys earlier, we're always trying to find folks who go through a domestic operation, and not just from a standpoint of, hey, I'm in the guard and I did this operation, it was really a rewarding experience, but to how we actually work with our partner agencies, because we never get to tell that story, I think, as much. So I appreciate you coming on, Eric, and sharing that with us.
Absolutely.
So.
Thank you for the invite, and thank you for putting me in the award, Sergeant Hyatt. I feel like I should return the honor, you know, in some way, shape, or form, because this was very unexpected, and
It'll be a job when I retire. Don't worry.
There you go.
You definitely have a letter of recommendation from me, as well as my captain over there. So you'll be more than happy to give you that recommendation. But yeah, no, it was an honor, and I appreciated our time together. And I feel like we've helped a lot of people.
And we'll do it again.
We'll do it again, but not too soon, right?
Hopefully.
So, if you like the video, give it a like. If you want to know more about Fish and Wildlife, we'll definitely put that information in the notes. Beautiful Parts, another state agency that we can share that information with pretty easily. So, if you like the channel, subscribe for future videos. And Eric, appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.